may be my new favorite. Thank you, choir. And Charlie and the children already preached my sermon, so I guess we can just go on home now. I'm just kidding. But thank y'all. Today we will be continuing to go through the book of Colossians by turning to Colossians 1, 15 through 20. Here we will find beautiful words describing not only Christ our Savior, but Christ our Lord. We often think about Jesus having power over salvation. We may picture him on a cross, but we often don't consider that he is not only the Savior of the world, but the sustainer of the universe. Jesus is far bigger than we think. You can't put him in a box, even though we try to do it all the time, unknowingly. The Jesus we serve is Lord over all. The Jesus we seem to forget. All of Scripture points to Jesus, and Colossians 1, 15 through 20 points to Jesus as Creator and as Redeemer. Let's look at Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The words flow together, known as one of the earliest hymns in the early church. Let's read God's Word. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist or hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. This is the word that is preached to you today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, may your word fall afresh upon us today. Help us to grow closer in our relationship with you as we understand Christ Jesus more and more today and each day. Lord, be with us now. May your spirit work. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What a glorious passage. One of the most important passages in all of the Bible. Within it, life is found, and also structure. Notice, if we were to lay down side by side two columns, in the first one are the verses 15, 16, and 17, and the second is 18, 19, and 20, you would find exact parallel phrases. Verse 15 and 18 is, "He is." And these two verses also say, "the firstborn." Verses 16 and 19, "for in him," or "by him." And verse 16 and 20, "in heaven and on earth." It's working together. Also take note, "all things," and "through him," or "by him," is said several times. So in these words, structure is found, order is discovered, and this passage sounds very hymn-like. But what is important about these words? It is vital to know who Christ is. If you know who Christ is, you will place him as the Lord over your heart and life, and the Lord over the entire cosmos, the entire universe. This reminds me of college taking Christology with Kelly Capick. Yes, I said Kelly, and he is a grown man. And taught us about Christ through the lens of this verse. And I am so appreciative. Thanks, Kelly. But alas, there is a heresy going around Colossae that you merely start with Christ. Christ is the starting point, and then this group of spiritual gurus in Colossae can get you deeper in knowledge and wisdom once you learn about Christ. We are about to see how Paul pulls the rug out from under this teaching Because Jesus not only has a hand in salvation, but in every sphere of life. He is sovereign. We think of Jesus as a man who died on the cross for my sins personally. We say, if he or she would only believe that he lived on this earth, that there is a Jesus and the earth was not formed by evolution, then one can be saved. We think of Jesus as some weakling, not over creation too. Isn't his main thing salvation? Is that what should be emphasized? Yes, absolutely. But we cannot limit Jesus to only being over salvation because the Bible doesn't. There is a strong parallelism here between Christ in creation and his majesty of redemption, which leads me to my 2 points for today's sermon. One, Christ is over creation and all things. And two, Christ is over redemption and reconciliation. Now, this is one of the most important passages in all of the Bible. It tells who God is and who his Son is. We will try to unpack as much as we can today without being here for the next 3. Many people today believe Jesus was a good man, maybe a prophet, or a good leader with good character and teaching ability. You may think you start with Christ with salvation, but you continue trying to earn God's favor through your works, maybe your own ability to be here this morning with your spouse and kids, and your ability not to show up having partied last night and dressed all pristine for today. We tend to think it's by what we do, how obedient you are, and how you're going to please God today through your actions. These thoughts and views end up making you think you are more pious and holy than you actually are, and take the sustaining power and authority away from Christ one day at a time. Everyone thinks Christ, but something else. I need something else too. Christ's death was not sufficient, so now I need to do good works. Now that I'm saved, what do? I sinned big after I rededicated my life to Christ. Now what? Christ plus astrology, Christ plus doTERRA, Christ plus fitness, Christ and shame. So we need to blot out this way of thinking. Christ is supreme. It is in Christ alone that we find redemption and the forgiveness of sins. Again, today I have 2 points. Christ is over creation and all things, and 2, Christ is over redemption and reconciliation. Christ is over creation. What do I mean by this? Well, verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, before you get all wound up, let me explain. God did not create Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus, the Son of God, has no beginning and has no end. What firstborn is saying is that the firstborn son receives all the rights and privileges of the kingdom. The firstborn is the highest rank, and Jesus is over it all. Jesus can't be the first thing created because we are about to find out. He is the one who creates all things. By him, the universe came into existence. And he is the image of the invisible God. One October morning in Lake Arthur, New Mexico, Maria Morales Rubio woke up early before her husband and children and began doing what she always did, cleaning, praying, and making tortillas, like her mother taught her, and like every Latina woman in her family had done for generations past. She was hard at work in the tortilla-making process, which is far too complex and beautiful for my mind to be able to explain to you, to myself, or to you. But on her third tortilla, she flipped it over to pour beans, chili, and rice to find a burn mark, one that would be an encouragement and an answer to those early morning Catholic rosary prayers. The burn mark, the face of Jesus. This is a sweet story. We don't know what the face of Jesus looks like yet to know if it really was his or not. But I bring up this story to point out our innate human desire to know, to be close to, and to see God. Well, God is seen in Christ. Want to know God more? Read his word and see Jesus in the text. Look to Jesus to see God. We don't see God the Father who is invisible, but we've seen Jesus in God's word who is God. Now this passage brings up the invisible part because that is combating a very big issue in the early church at the time. Invisible would have been very important for combating this false teaching being introduced called Gnosticism. Gnosticism praised the spiritual realm and downplayed the material, physical world. It downplayed the incarnation, Jesus coming to this earth. The spiritual was important to them, the physical matter was not. Gnostics said, matter is of little value, the spiritual world is of all value. So Jesus probably just created the material world, no big deal. But to say Jesus created the material world and the spiritual world, now that's saying something. Paul was correcting that heresy as he wrote. Now for someone like me, I like to think of Jesus creating the birds and the trees, the physical world. But that was not their thinking then. The Colossians would have seen the creation of the invisible being very important. Today in America, we doubt that anything other than the physical exists. There is no spiritual, there is no invisible. It is not backed by science, so it does not exist. All of this did not matter to them. They had no trouble believing in spirituality. So the way of thinking for them was that the body was evil and bad, and we need to deny it completely. But God put on flesh and dwelt among us. Our bodies matter because God and his creation matter. And God is not ashamed of his creation. Because by Jesus all things were created. All things. Verse 16 says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. By him all things were created, so without him nothing would be created or could be created. Our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. By him and in him everything was made. From the valleys of the Grand Canyon to the mountaintop of Mount Kilimanjaro, the universe was made in him and reflects his personality and being." It reflects his goodness. We tend to only think of God the Father creating all things, but nothing would be in existence without God the Son. And we're going to find out soon that everything would fall apart without him. Angels were created by God. This is another slap in the face to Gnosticism, who praises angels over Jesus. Jesus is the one who created the angels to worship God. His hand is in creation, and the angels are creatures made and formed to worship God. He is the source of all praise. Which means everything was created not only through Christ, but for Christ. All things were created through him and for him. Jesus Christ is our creator. The reason creation is created, the reason we have our everything, for him. So the grapes and bread he enjoyed on earth for his growth and nourishment existed for him. Can a wheat plant take delight? He and his body got to eat and enjoy. It was for him. And we are for him to enjoy. Of course, not food. As we reflect him, our goal is not only to glorify him, but to enjoy him forever. Right? The world is constantly telling us, whatever makes you happy, do what makes you happy. Everything is for you. It's yours to do with what you want. You are here to have fun. But why you are really here is to glorify God. Because how did you get here? Through God alone. And how is God seen? Through Jesus. When we delight in the glories of the mountains and the beautiful sounds of the tide against the wet sand, He also delights because we are delighting in His creation. So what does creation point to? Who do the rocks cry out to? Who do the birds sing to? The heavens declare the glory of God. Creation not only points to the existence of God, but the Savior of the world. So often we get stuck in trying to prove God's existence that we never arrive at the fact that creation points to the King of all creation, Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, "And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or hold together." Christ is our sustainer. He upholds. Everything would fall apart without Him. Creation would be chaos. Y'all know Faith and I got married at a young age in college, and we are, of course, financially tight. Because of this, we bought much of our furniture used or secondhand from thrift stores. In fact, our couches we had were hand-me-downs from halls on campus. The couches were so trashed, the students didn't want to keep them. But we gladly adopted them and made them our own, after Faith, of course, deep cleaned them several times. All that to say, when any of this old furniture broke, Faith would often turn to me, the man, as if I was some kind of carpenter to fix the furniture. Now may it be known, I don't know as much as I would like about carpentry or woodworking other than knowing Jesus fairly well. Did you catch that? So what would I do when the leg of our couch broke off? I'd grab the bottle of wood glue. It's easy, right? I thought it would get the job done. Mind you, no clamps, no screws, no hammer. Just a man and a bottle of glue. I bet you can imagine that we learned quickly not to trust the wood glue as much as we trusted the super glue because it was faster in the process. But you get the picture. Jesus is the best glue. He not only holds our cheap couches together, He holds us in a broken world together. Hebrews 1:3 says, "The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven." He is before all things, which means when the first thing was created, He already was. By Him, light was created. He was before anything was created and certainly not created Himself. He always was, is, and always will be. Christ holds all things together. We seem to forget Jesus is the super glue of order. He makes what would be chaos a cosmos, and what would be floating, He designs gravity. The mind of Christ brings order. Without the mind of Christ, everything falls apart. Without Christ, there would be no harmony of any kind, no order. There would be chaos and nothing would hold together. The world would fall apart. The bear would have nowhere to hibernate. The seasons would never change. There would be no waves in the ocean. Lungs would not go in and out. Eyes would not see. Ears would not hear. Creation is dependent on Christ, Jesus. We see chaos all the time. We hear of murder, all kinds of evil in the world today. On our TV, blasting from every direction, negativity all around. People are killing children in the womb as if they are just a lump of cells. They are hating their brothers and sisters. They are destroying God's glorious earth as if it means nothing and wasn't made with detail and precision to glorify God. People are running rampage, seeking their own glory, fame, and freedom. Where is the order? Christ is head of the church. All creatures of our God and King, all creatures are being held together. He is our sustainer and governor. By his power, motivated by love, love for us and love for creation, when we look at Jesus, we see God. God sets his Son at the highest seat, his right hand where he has control over all creation and holds all things together. He is the wood glue properly applied. In the resurrection, there is restoration, and the second coming is proclaimed, and the new heavens and the new earth are enacted. There was a lady that came by the church yesterday looking for Harmony Church, and she came up to the door and knocked and peeked her head in and said if this was the right location to vote. And I said that it was not, and I tried to find it for her to where to go because I didn't know myself. And eventually she said, I think I'm just going to turn away. I've looked and I think I'm going to give up now. And so I went back inside and I was thinking, you know what? The church is supposed to be here to help people. So I went on my phone again and was able to find the location and find where Harmony Church is and ran back out there and told her where to go. I wanted to be a light. I wanted to be a witness to her and to point her in the right direction because she went to church to find the answer, and I wanted to be helpful. Now on to my second point. Christ is over redemption and reconciliation. What do I mean by redemption and reconciliation? Well, Christ is redeeming all things and reconciling all things to himself through the cross as head of the church. Verse 18 says, Christ is over the church, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. The head leads, guides, and directs the body. That's what Christ is to the church. The body cannot function without the head. And Christ is head of the body, the church. He is not only supreme over all of creation, but supreme over the church. What can the body do without the head? Not much. And who makes up the body? You do. You make up the body. I make up the body. We all have gifts to help the body function, but nothing can be done without the head. For function, direction, purpose, growth, etc. Jesus brings life to the church. God began the church, not man. Always look to Christ for direction in the church. And church, find common ground in Christ. Christ as our wood glue. Now, New Harmony, you don't want to miss this. Always look to Christ for direction in the church. Because then it says, Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. Huh? Which is to say, he is risen. Jesus died and rose again from the dead. He is the firstborn. That's what we as Christians live off of. If Jesus Christ did not rise from the dead, then what are we doing? What is the point? Our faith rests on it. Our hope rests on it. Jesus is alive, and he gave himself up for the church. So he has preeminence in all things. All things, all arenas, all spheres, chess clubs. God is redeeming all things and making all things new. All parts of life. All of life is worship. It just matters what you're worshiping or who you're worshiping. Our Creator, Sustainer, Supplier, Governor, Head over the church is also in all and over all things. This was the motto of Covenant College, the verse, Christ is preeminent in all things. In a classroom, in the curriculum, on campus, off campus, in the dorms, on the field, the court, in practice, in the local church, late night runs to Taco Bell. Christ is preeminent in all of it. It's not let Christ be preeminent over all things in your life, but Christ already is, and God has a plan. You're not letting Christ, he already is, and God has a plan in all of it. This is not to say that Christ is under and in every rock, but that Christ's reign has control over every rock and every drop. Not that if you stub your toe on a rock, you can blame God, but that God can lift the rock at any moment. God the Father is worshipped when God the Son is worshipped. God the Father is honored when God the Son is honored. And have hope because Christ is preeminent in justification, sanctification, and glorification also. Jesus is at work and reigns in every area of our lives. Verse 19 and 20 are the implications of Christ being our supreme ruler, the Lord over all. It's the so what of the passage, so let's lean in. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him the fullness should dwell." The Father was pleased that the fullness of God is dwelling in his Son. The fullness, all of the godness. Jesus is fully God, 100% man, 100% God. Colossians 2:9, a few verses later, says, "For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily." Not only does God will Christ to have the fullness of God dwell in him, but Christ himself is divine. Christ already is God to the fullest. I think of Galatians 4, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. God sent Jesus at the perfect time, the right time, and his fullness dwelt in him. God sent Jesus to this earth, and he is sufficient. He is enough. You don't look somewhere else for sufficiency. Christ plus something. I think of McDonald's asking, "Want to supersize that? Want a Coke with that?" No, because he's everything. Christ in his fullness is enough. In Christ is the fullness of God because Jesus is God. He not only bears God's glory, but all that God is dwells in him. Jesus is fully God, fully, completely. And finally, verse 20. "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." By him is said twice, and through him. This is all done in him and through Jesus. So we can know one of the most beautiful words in all of the Bible, reconcile. The fall of man happened when man sinned and shattered relationship with the triune God. When man sinned, the relationship between God and man could not be in perfect harmony because man was tainted and plunged into sin, and God is holy. Reconcile means to change or exchange, to bring in. You talk about a marriage or a relationship being reconciled. For it to be reconciled, it has to be broken at some point and then brought back together. The relationship between God and man was broken, but Christ restores that relationship. He reconciles God to man and man to God by way of the cross. We don't get what we deserve. We deserve death, but God in his infinite mercy sent his only begotten Son to this earth, into the brokenness, into the sinful world, to redeem it by the blood of the Lamb. He made peace through the blood of his cross for salvation. He made a way and is the way of salvation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Jesus died on the cross for your sins so that we can have fellowship and be reconciled back to God as originally intended. Jesus bridged the gap between God and man by going to the cross. We are redeemed. But again, this is not just an individualistic salvation, just me and Jesus forever, but all things on heaven and on earth being reconciled to him. All things, not some things, but all things. This is a collective renewing and healing. Jesus is bringing restoration, not only to reconcile, but to reconcile to himself. All things are reconciled through him and to him. Through the cross, the universe is promised restoration back to how it was originally intended and even better, even though sin corrupted it. Jesus restores it so believers will see a new heaven and a new earth as God brings it. So this does not mean we trash our bodies, our world, and our relationships because Jesus is restoring all of it. We as Christians, little minions, get to take part in bringing that restoration, in being vehicles through which he is restoring. By him he reconciles all things to himself. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And the cross made peace, it says. This is no hippie peace, but a peace that reaches every corner of the universe through redemption. Jesus is not only a peacekeeper, but a peacemaker. He not only brings peace, but he's the Prince of Peace. He makes peace and does it at the cross forever. No matter where, on earth or in the heavens, the cross is the turning point of the cosmos and human history for all of creation. And Jesus made peace through the blood of the cross. This is a holistic peace. This is the shalom the Bible speaks of, and the shalom, the peace we long for. We long to embrace it. O Christian, Christ is returning and bringing with him a new heaven and a new earth with a peace that will last forever and ever because Jesus has made it happen. Now remember our 2 points for this passage. Christ is over creation and all things, and Christ is over redemption and reconciliation. So I ask you, are you reconciled to God? Do you have peace with God? Do you want to be reconciled and brought into the newness of God with believers and all of creation? If you are in Christ, do you understand that Christ is all you need? In him, you find full sufficiency. He is Lord, Creator, and Sustainer, and it is through him that we find all we need. Let's pray. Dear gracious God, our Heavenly Father, Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, help us to be reminded of all of your glory and all of your splendor, to turn to Jesus always as our hope, our satisfaction, and our joy. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.